How much of the pressure falls on Tatum?
It shouldn't, but it is, because maybe some of the things he said when he said, look, I feel like I'm the best player in the world when I step on the floor. And he should feel that way. And he should say that if he's perfectly honest. But when you say those things, Josue, you also have to be able to back those things up.
Right.
Jason Tatum had a great year. Even last year, you think about it, the Celtics had the chance to make history last year in coming back and beating Miami. And what happens? Jason Tatum twists his ankle on one of the first plays of the game. And they were done. Now, if he did that today, I think the Celtics still have so many more weapons than they did last year that, no, they couldn't win it without him. But I think in a early round series that they have guys who can step up and make plays and do a lot of things to avail if Tatum isn't there.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
Welcome back to another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Josue Pavone alongside Cedric Maxwell. The Boston Celtics wrapped up the NBA season, one of the best seasons historically for the franchise, one of the best seasons for any NBA team. They finished 64-18 with a double-digit win against the Washington Wizards. You had the top six take the day off, and you had a very special Mike Gorman night at TD Garden to commemorate the retirement of Mike Gorman, play-by-play legend, play-by-play announcer Mike Gorman for 43 years. Mike will continue through the first round of the playoffs, but just like we have no idea who they're playing, neither does Mike. No one knows. So right now, I just want to take this moment to let's reflect on the Celtics season. Let's see where your head's at right now, Max, and then we can go back to, you know, that's what we do here, right, Mac? We go back and we say, remember when you were worried about this, that, the other, or you said that? This is that time of the year, right, with the play-in, the new format. Celtics have a whole week off before they find out. Well, at least by Friday, they'll know who their first-round opponent will be. But, Max, how do you feel? How do you, looking back on the season, favorite games or moments? Like, what do you like most about the Celtics team this year, I should say?
Probably the biggest surprise was just how well Porzingis played. Porzingis fit in like a glove, man. It was unreal to see him on the offensive end, defensive end. Just how well this team played together. Derek White had an all-star year. Jrue Holiday, you know, we miss Marcus Smart like a mug. But Jrue Holiday came in and filled those gaps brilliantly. And Brown and Tatum continued to dazzle. Al Horford coming off the bench. Joe Mazzulla made a bunch of great moves. And Brassey, I don't know where you get the negatives with this team. I mean, there's a few things you can nitpick and say, you know, they have to be a better rebounding club. But overall, it was a damn good year for the Boston Celtics and what they were able to do. But just the way we're in Boston, and that gets you what? What is that? What does that get you, Josue?
They get you nothing.
You have a historic year. Wait a minute. What were the Patriots? What were they, 17?
Oh, man. It's still too soon, Max, man. I don't want to talk about that year, man.
No, it's not too soon, but it's just an example.
No, you're right. It's not too soon.
Look at last year. Wasn't it the Boston Bruins had
with the Bruins.
Yeah. That had the unbelievable record and played so well, and they got bounced in the first round. So here in Boston, it's what you do in the postseason that really counts. And so all the pressure is on the Boston Celtics because everybody has picked them as a favorite. And when you're picked as a favorite, all you can do is fail. I talked to Joe Mazzulla, and Joe said to me, he said, well, you know, I have to get that pressure off of Tatum. And I said, you can't. There's no way that he's like, why? I said, because of what you and I do right now, social media. Social media has taken over to a point where they're driving the bus when it comes to putting pressure on players and teams that haven't won a championship.
No, you're right, man, 1,000%. I feel like with that pressure, you feel like he's equipped for it because of what we've seen the last 3-4 years, especially after the first ever appearance in the NBA Finals, especially after the team he has around him, man. It's like one of those classic narratives, you know, when superstars, when fans are saying, oh, well, superstars need this and they need that. This is that classic line with, and I think we said it last week too, or a couple episodes ago, like, what more do you need? I mean, you mentioned it. Kristaps Porzingis, Drew Holiday, guys that just really filled a lot of the holes, if you will, right? That Celtics had throughout, flaws, I guess the better way to say it, you know, and it enhanced both ends of the floor. And that's the part that I feel like it's overlooked when you look at this team, because of who they are offensively, but defensively, they're right up there as well. You know, there's a team that can, you know, that have defeated teams that have destroyed teams throughout the regular season, you know, which there was a couple of significant winning streaks, but also there were also a couple of those games where you wondered to yourself, man, like these guys getting bored, they need to be challenged more because that's how dominant they were.
Yeah, they were dominant. There's no question. If there's an Achilles heel for this team in the last 3 weeks, last month, it's been too many offensive rebounds. You know, teams have gotten that over and over again. Josh Hart cannot out-rebound you with your team. He can't get 17 rebounds against you, and Jaylen Brown has none. Or Tatum, he out-rebounded both those guys and everybody else on the team. So if there's that little piece that if you want to be, you know, nitpicky about, you have to look at the fact that they have to do a better job of rebounding basketball on their defensive end. Offensively, they're going to be great. But defensively, teams are going to attack them, and they're going to attack them by just throwing the ball up towards the rim and running, trying to get rebounds. Celtics have to do a much better job of sealing people out and getting rebounds. And they can always run once they get the rebound.
This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast is powered by PrizePicks, America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less and two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on PrizePicks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what makes PrizePicks the number one sports app. This week on PrizePicks, I'm selecting Derek White for more than 4.5 assists and Kristaps Porzingis for more than 8.5 rebounds. It's that easy. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit up to $100. That's CLNS for a first deposit up to $100. Download PrizePicks today and make sure you use the promo code CLNS.
Right. No, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a flaw for sure. I mean, when you look at the losses, that's usually the case in terms of giving up second chance points, just being on the wrong end of a humongous deficit on the rebounding side of things. So yeah, for sure. I mean, that's part of it as well. But when you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, Max, let me ask you this, man, does it matter to you when you see how things have broken down at the end here? I mean, all of a sudden the New York Knicks are the second seed, which means if hypothetically, if they were to make it to the second round or even the third round, I mean, they'd essentially avoid the Boston Celtics until the very end, you know. Or look at a team like the Milwaukee Bucks. Now that they're slotted in third, they have to face the Indiana Pacers with a banged up Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, you got a really inspired Pacers team that's just been trying to kind of show the league that they've arrived. You know, that they're one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, and this would be a great way to do it. Handing the Milwaukee Bucks back-to-back first-round exits, or at least, you know, being the last team to do that, I think it would definitely surprise some people. But would it surprise you?
I don't know if it would surprise me or not, because if you look at the way these two teams have played, Indiana's had their number. Indiana played well against the Celtics. They have elite offense. They're long. They're athletic. And how are you going to beat them? You're going to have to beat them because you have Giannis Antetokounmpo healthy. And right now, I don't know how you're healthy if you have anything going on with your lower extremities. In a big-time game, you got to have all those power points. And if you don't have him, I don't see how you beat Indiana. Indiana gets you in a running game. They want to score 130 and just – pick the pace up. They went, and no pun intended, pick the pace up and make sure that you're tired. And so Giannis is going to have to guard, put Damian Lillard on an island against Nesmith and a couple of guys like that. And Indiana plays well at home. They've just played well at home. And they've beaten, as I said, I think three out of four times they've beaten Giannis's team. And the only time Giannis, Milwaukee beat them, Giannis had to drop 50. And I think that was the night that he attacked somebody and wanted to get the basketball because they wouldn't give him the ball on the road. So it's not gonna be easy. It's not gonna be a cakewalk for anybody out there.
Yeah, I agree, man. If I had to predict a first round surprise or a first round upset, because that's what this would be technically. This is probably it. I mean, it's gonna be a really really fun series. I don't think it'll be lopsided either way. But yeah, man, I think the Bucks could be in trouble here. They could really be in trouble. The way they start out, especially in those first couple of games in Milwaukee, it's going to be really, really important when you look at just the way they are. I mean, they lost back-to-back games to finish the season. What are they, 3-7 in their last 10? I mean, momentum is certainly not on their side whatsoever going into the playoffs.
The only team they slapped around was the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, for real. And the
Celtics really didn't need to win the basketball game. I mean, Celtics were so far ahead. Right,
and Max, it doesn't even feel relevant.
It wasn't one of those things where you looked at and you went, okay, here's where the Celtics are at and here where the Bucks at. The Bucks have lost to some of these teams that you're going, they lost to Washington, they lost to Toronto. And some of these games were in Milwaukee with Giannis. So it's gonna be a couple of tricky games early on to see how people play.
No question, man, for sure. You know, look,
Josue, how nervous is are the Celtics going to be in those first couple of minutes if things aren't going right? I mean, because you're just saying the team right now that's like, look, we know we right now are looked at as the favorites to win the NBA championship. And those first couple of minutes are going to be critical. Celtics need to come out, play well, be very dominant, put their foot on the opponent's throat early on and just keep it moving.
Right. No question, Max, because then you're gonna just give confidence to the other team. And even though we don't know who that team is, it's not going to be light. Let's call it like it is, Max. I mean, well, you tell me. I mean, but the way things are looking right now, whether it's the Miami Heat, whether it's the Bulls, the Hawks, the 76ers, I mean.
And none of those teams should present a problem to the Boston Celtics if they are who we think they are. If they're the best team right now in the league, then those teams right now should not really pose a great problem to the Celtics. Celtics should be armed and equipped and ready to play these guys. And if they bring their A game, I don't know who beats the Celtics. Who beats the Celtics, especially in the Eastern Conference?
No, I agree, Max. I agree. I just think it's interesting because this could be one of those rare times where your first round matchup could be more challenging than your second. And listen, I'm not trying to throw shade at the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Orlando Magic. That's the 4-5 right now. Those are the two teams. One of those is going to get through and get to the second round. But given what we've been, what we know now, I would guess that could happen. You know, it could be the case. And I'm not going to look all the way ahead to the Eastern Conference Finals, but just looking at what we're seeing right now, I think this first round matchup could be one of those tests where something's going to really try to, like you said, like are we this humongous giant that we say we are, that we've been all year long? This is where they have to show it, that first round matchup.
And that first round matchup is going to be critical, not only for them, but for all the people who have believed in them. The Charles Barkley of the world, this person of the world, that person of the world. You know, some of my buddies who, you know, have played, you know, going – Maurice Cheeks, who is with Chicago, said, man, y'all got a hell of a team. That's the best team right now in the league. So the Celtics have to step up and prove that when they play their first game. It's going to be critical. Those first couple of minutes are going to be with people who are going to be on eggshells. But if they put their best foot forward, you know, this team should win.
How much of the pressure falls on Tatum?
It shouldn't, but it is. because maybe some of the things he said when he said, look, I feel like I'm the best player in the world when I step on the floor. And he should feel that way. And he should say that if he's perfectly honest. But when you say those things, Josue, you also have to be able to back those things up.
Right.
Jason Tatum had a great year. Even last year, you think about it, the Celtics had the chance to make history last year in coming back and beating Miami. And what happens? Jason Tatum twists his ankle on one of the first plays of the game. And they were done. Now, if he did that today, I think the Celtics still have so many more weapons than they did last year that, they couldn't win it without him. But I think in a early round series that they have guys who can step up and make plays and do a lot of things to avail if Tatum isn't there.
Yeah, man. I also just think Tatum's in a space where he's ready. He's ready to have that career defining run.
He better be. He better be.
Of course.
Honestly, guys are gonna come at you, man. That's how this league is. It's the weak and it's the strong. It's the weak. You know, the strong are always going to try to devour the weak. So you can't show any weakness at all. The Celtics have to come out early in the series that they play and put a stamp on that and saying this league is in trouble.
Absolutely, man. Strike fear. Because that's how that you've been that team. Show that you're that team. In the best of seven series, the better team not only wins, but it continues to make adjustments. And any signs of vulnerability, they're going to address that. You know, or at least that's what they're supposed to do, especially in that first round matchup. Man. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it.
Indeed, totally believe exactly what you're saying.
Definitely. And they got three practice sessions going down at the Auerbach Center before Friday, which will find out who their first round opponent will be. And of course, here on the podcast, man, we got nothing but continuous coverage, breaking things down. We got very special guests lined up as well. And of course, we're keeping it 100 here on the Cedric Maxwell podcast. But like I said at the top, man, Mike Gorman Day, rather, at TD Garden was a great time, man. That's obviously for someone like me who grew up around this area, is the voice of the Celtics for sure, man. It's what I grew up on, and a lot of people around these parts can say the same. Max, just what did you think of the ceremony and everything that happened at TD Garden, and Mike Gorman going into his final series of broadcasting games?
I loved it. I loved it. I think the funniest thing about it, you can almost tell that Mike didn't want to be there. Mike has always been so understated, but to put Mike in the spotlight, just him, that's not him. He could always kind of shield himself with Tommy or Scal or whoever he's been with, but you put him up front on center stage, essentially by himself to celebrate, and it was a great moment for him, but at the same time, you could tell he was like, well, if we can just get this thing over with, I'll be happy.
Yeah, you could tell too, but you could see how Scal was kind of like I feel like that he was bouncing it off Scal, and then Scal kind of felt it too. So he was trying his best to kind of keep it going, keep it flowing. I thought the stories were perfect; they weren't too long, they weren't too drawn out, and he kept it short and sweet, as he said, the less is better. And I thought that was a perfect touch, perfect way for Mike to get the salute, get the flowers that he deserves for sure,
Mike. God bless you. We always remember what you will always remember. Cedric Maxwell will always remember what you told him that your father said. Mike never missed an opportunity to say nothing. And because of that, that means that you're listening and you're able to absorb a lot of different things. And now, Mike, thank you for that parable. That's one that I try to use a little bit more and talk less and listen a little bit more.
Absolutely, man. Thank you, Mike, for just a fun, exciting career, everything that you accomplished, man. Hall of Fame career for sure, man. Thank you for the memories, for the calls, and of course, good luck. I mean, enjoy retirement. Like he said, spending time with his granddaughter and all that. Just take it all in, man. Watch the games you want to watch, of course, because you know, keep watching basketball, like he told me. Hopefully we see you back at the Garden sometime, man. Come on,
Mike,
come on.
You'll always be a Celtic, Mike. You'll always be a Celtic.
Absolutely. That's a wrap for this episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. We'll see you guys next week. He is Cedric Maxwell. I am Josue Pavone. And by the next episode, we'll know who the Celtics are playing in that first round series. And I can't wait, man. We'll see you guys then.